Greetings, friends. You're listening to the Soul Real Podcast, where we're sharing only deep and meaningful and real vibes about life. The song in this episode is called Come As I Am, and the link to download is in the description of this podcast. This is Soul Man speaking, and I hope that you enjoy this episode on the grace of death and grief. Friends, look around you. Everybody that you love, all the things that you enjoy, everything you know, will die. Now, how do you feel when you hear those words? Do you feel discomfort? Do you feel tension? Do you feel sadness? Do you feel nothing? Do you feel apathy? Do you feel a distance? The thing is that that is the only certainty, really, in life. The only inevitable of life is that all things will die. Yet, we, as a culture, live with such a taboo against death. So much fear of death. But if you look in nature, if you look at a forest, you see that there is this permanent entanglement of life and death. We see the trees, we see the birds, we see the insects, the flowers, etc. But you also see the leaves rotting on the ground, the fallen trees, the broken branches, the corpses. You see the funguses growing out of the death. We see the cobwebs in the sky. There's this deep interconnectedness between the forces of life and death. And in nature, we can see that all of life has come out of death. Nothing that exists, nothing that is alive, has not come out of death. You know, in science, they've come to understand that energy cannot be created or destroyed. That all of the energy that exists in the universe now has existed since the beginning. Nothing has been added. The only way that that's possible for us to see so much evolution and change and expansion in the universe is that through the process of death, there's been a constant transformation of the energy that has always been there. It's only through the process of death, of the energy, of the elements, of the nutrients, being able to be reformed into new forms, it's only through death that that has been possible. It's only through the death of stars, the supernovas, that allow the elements of Earth to come together. And it's only through the death of living things that the nutrients in their bodies become available for new life to grow and for evolution to continue. So in nature, you can see that that is the grace of death. Death and life are beloved partners. You know, they're in a cosmic romance that allows creativity and the universal unfolding to come forward. They work together for the expansion of this universe. And we can see that process in nature, in the stars, supernovas, in the forest, etc. But when it comes to our own life and our own world, we have such a deep resistance and fear against death. Our culture as it is, it seems that, you know, I think even in a really deep way, maybe the main drive behind our culture as it is today is the fear of death and the need to try and escape death. I mean, the defenses, the, you know, armed forces and war, all of the war is really about some form of defense of trying to protect ourselves against the possibility of death, of invasion, of threat. And so much of medicine and technology, all of these things are there to try and put off death, to try and almost, in a sense, artificially prolong life. And even in our technologies, I mean, look at our worlds, our cities of steel and concrete and plastic. These things represent a kind of permanence. That's why they're so valuable to us. That's why we're so enamored by them as a culture, is that they're basically permanent. They are undying. And so we revere them even. But interestingly, I mean, look at the effect of these things. Look at the effect of concrete. You know that of all of these soils on planet Earth, there's only a small fraction of soils that are healthy living soils that food could be grown on, that life can be grown on. It's a small fraction of the surface of the Earth. And one of the biggest causes now of the destruction and degradation of soils on Earth is what they call soil capping. That is the building of concrete over soil. That building of concrete blocks out all light and water, and then the soil underneath is degraded into nothingness. Soil, interestingly, soil is almost a bed of death. Soil is where this process of renewal happens, is where all of the dead things go and are fed into microorganisms that allow the nutrients to become reavailable. So all of death kind of goes into soil and all of life comes out of soil. Soil is deeply tied into the grace of death. We build concrete permanent structures over the soil and it is degraded. And then we experience the painful effects of that. We get flooding, we get increased temperatures, we get all of the pollution that comes from things not being able to be broken down by soil. And then, I mean, plastic. We all know now in the modern world the pollution of plastic. And the reason why plastic is so polluting and toxic is because it doesn't break down. It doesn't decompose. Plastic just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And those particles cause issues at the cellular level to biological organisms. So in fact, all of these things that represent a kind of defeat of death are causing way more issue and dysfunction. And, you know, I mean, just taking this point to an extreme even, because it really is something super deep in our culture. Look at even the way that we treat death when it happens. When one of our loved ones dies, when a human body dies, do you know how much nutrients exist in a human body? How complex a human body is in all of its structures of DNA and proteins and everything? It's a super fertilizer to the earth. Yet when one of our loved ones dies, they're taken to a funeral home and pumped with chemicals to try and look in a really twisted, obscure way to try and look like they're alive, even though they're dead corpse. And then we put these bodies in boxes that are treated with chemicals so that they themselves don't break down and put into the earth. I mean, it's madness. Even in death, we try to escape death. That's how deep this thing goes now. But friends, if you really sit back, sit deeply, and acknowledge now the reality that all things will die. Everybody that you love will die. Everything that you know will die. And to really, really sit deep with that reality, to not shy away from it. Yes, it is fearful. I mean, it's painful to think about. Yet to really accept it as real, because it is real, and to sit deep with it, to look deeply into those eyes of death and see what comes. You know, it's in a way that we are afraid of it because at some deep level, we see death as a bad thing. It's really that, at the core of it. We see death as the opposite of life, as the antithesis of life. Yet, as we see in the process of nature, death is what allows life. Death is an earlier stage of life. Death is the partner, the other half, the husband, the wife of life, the beloved of life. And when we could sit deep with that reality, think about it. I mean, feel it, friends. How would you interact with the people that you love if you knew that they were going to die tomorrow? This is the last time that you were ever going to see them. How would you interact with your life, with your world, with the simple things around you if you knew this was the last time you would have it? If tomorrow everything would be taken away? How would you live your life if you knew this was your last day on earth, that you were going to die tomorrow? I mean, these things are possible. They are realities. It's not just like a mental exercise. If you really sit deep and accept that, accept the inevitability of death right now, then the way that we live our lives is with such a deep heart and soul presence that is not possible while we continue to try to turn away from this grace of death. How would you look deeply into your lover's eyes if you knew this was the last time? How would you sleep on your bed if you knew this was the last time you would have that bed? How would you eat the next meal if you knew this was the last time you could eat a meal? You know, looking at the process of life and death in nature and kind of talking about it in those conceptual terms of that death brings forth life, etc., etc., we can see it there in nature, but how we actually experience that as a reality in our life, that same process, how we experience that, is with the deep emotional presence that comes from the grace of death. That grace that allows the creation of stars and planets and life forms in the universe is the same grace that allows us to live our life with such depth, with such heart and soul that we could want nothing more, because we experience the moment with this absolute presence. This poem is called I Love Dying. This is the end. The last time I'll ever have this. Gone forever, the tenderness of bitter sweet. How much more I can see the little light of a living eye. How much more sweet the passing of a valley breeze through every arm here. The curve of your every word. The familial stories behind even the littlest things. The aliveness, the presence of even the auxiliary. And gone forever. And another has come. Through the eyes of death, the bright face of life. Oh, how I love dying. That deep and mature facing of death is inextricably interwoven with the experience of grief. It's inevitable when something we love dies, when we lose something, that we feel a deep sense of grief. Unless we are escaping into entertainment or drugs, taking our mind off of things, or intellectual escapes like the whole YOLO idea, when we really and maturely face death, the inevitable is that we feel grief. And I think that grief has a really deep purpose and place, because grief, through the process of grief, it really deeply allows us to let go of that thing that has died, that has gone, to truly embrace the reality that that thing is gone. And that's important because, again, looking at the process of nature, in the universe, it is this process of death bringing forward life, always death bringing forward life. That is the process of evolution in the universe. It is a process of adapting to change. That's what brings forth evolution, right? And adapting to change means really embracing the new conditions. There's a change in the environment. And embracing those new conditions now allows something new to be born that couldn't have been born with the old conditions. So that process, that death bringing forward new conditions, then allows this adaptation to allow the process of evolution to continue. Now, that could, to us, with our overstimulated minds in the modern world, become something kind of stressful, that we need to figure out how to adapt to change, how to, you know, understand these new conditions, how to put things in place, how to see things in a new perspective, etc. But there's deep tension in that. There's deep tension in that because that is not an intellectual process, really. That deep facing of new conditions and that deep showing up with a deep sense of presence for what is now, what the new conditions are now, to really embrace and adapt to those new conditions, is not an intellectual process. That's a deep heart, soul, cellular intelligence process. And that's what grief is. I think that grief is at the deepest level of our being, our cellular, soulular level, the level of our soul, grief is a process whereby we are truly letting go of how things were. And that experience of grief is not an intellectual process. It's that deep, emotional, intense feeling of your heart burning, bursting, of the warm tears, of the sobbing. That feeling of being just totally present with that raw emotional experience of life. It brings you in a state of presence in such a deep way. And in that state of deep presence, there is at the deepest core of our being an acceptance that things are gone. This thing is gone. This thing that I love is gone. The conditions are new now. Without the intellectual process of having to try and figure that out and put things into perspective and etc. From the deepest level of our heart and soul, that acceptance comes. And that is the grace of grief. That is the gift of grief, that by surrendering into this deep natural experience to our heart and soul, it allows us to be born again. It allows us to be present for the new moment, to bring forward the new moment with our full heart and soul, our depth, our beauty, our life. And so, when we treat grief and death as bad things, as unwanted things, things we try to avoid, the natural consequence of that is that we never allow ourselves to fully live with our deepest presence and to grow into the next moment, to create the next moment, to be born anew in a greater way, a more mature way, a more harmonious, more complex, more beautiful way. And instead, we live with a kind of a banality, a mundaneness. Life becomes dull, it becomes the same, because we're not creating the new, we're not being born anew. And that is, to me, the superficiality of our culture, is that it's a result of, at a deep, deep level, not embracing death, not embracing grief, trying to escape from it, to hide from it, not allowing ourselves to live from our heart and soul present in this moment, life becoming mundane, banal, superficial, and then people needing these extreme forms of entertainment to kind of feel their life inside of them. Where the deepest heart, soul level of it, it's just that we haven't embraced grief and death. And I mean, look at it in our culture. When you think about grief and death, and somebody talks about grief and death, we call them morose or morbid, you know? It's deeply like rooted in our thinking and our conditioning that these are bad things, unwanted things. The result of that is that we never really live. We never really live. Deeply from our heart and soul, we don't live. When we embrace the grace of grief and death, it allows us to be the fullness of who we are, to live from our fullest heart and presence, and to make each moment of our life the most beautiful thing it can be. And now, I mean, on this, we're talking about death, and naturally, you think about physical death, the death of our loved ones, of the death of physical things, but this goes extremely deeply, psychologically, because all throughout life, there are deaths. This same principle applies in every aspect, every area of life. You know, not just physical death. When somebody that you love leaves, that's a death. When an environment changes, when you move, maybe you move where you live, or the conditions change where you live, that's a death of the way things were before. New conditions. When you're in some new situation, some new life experience, that's a death of an old version of yourself. Conditions are new. Or when you feel a deep shake-up of your beliefs in a way, that is a dying process. I mean, I think of psychologically maturing. We were all babies once. We were all babies once, but that baby self had to die for the toddler self to be born. The toddler self had to die for the child self to be born. And I mean, think about it, like, as children, you know, we all have a kind of deep underlying sense that our parents are perfect. As a child, as growing into the world, that's just a deep underlying sense. But then it reaches that phase of evolution where you might experience something in life where you realize that your parents aren't perfect. in that moment, there's a deep psychological instability that brings a deep sense of grief. And that grief, to embrace it and to simply accept it, to feel it, the grief of it, to feel the sadness of the shake-up of things. That's allowing the old self to die for the new self to be born. The child that believes his parents are perfect cannot ever live to its fullest potential, because it's not true that your parents are perfect. No human beings are perfect. And by believing that in a naive way, it doesn't allow you to fully embrace life. That has to die for your newer, more mature self, whereby you don't rely on the perfection of your caretakers, but instead you seek to create perfection in your life, etc. That is only possible through the death of the old way of seeing things, which is a painful process, in a way, a process of grief. I shouldn't say painful, it's an uncomfortable process. And I say that because the pain, I think the real deep suffering that we attach to death is because we don't recognize the deep principle, the deep reality in all of life, that the new beauty, a higher beauty, a deeper potential is born out of death. Every time there is a death, every time there is a shake-up, a change-up, a new circumstance, a new environment, every time there is a death, there is a new life in a greater form, a greater expression than was there before. Life is always moving forward. You know, the universe unfolds in one direction. Time goes in one direction. So if you could have the wisdom to see that, even if we can't understand it intellectually, that through the process of death, there's always a rebirth in a higher, more complex, more beautiful way, then what is the pain in that? Where is pain in that perspective? Where is the sting of death? If you recognize that death is a friend of life, a partner of life, that death is something beautiful and helpful, it is grace, it is a gift of life, of creation. It is a gift whereby we could be born anew and experience higher levels of life, of beauty, of joy, of happiness, of love, deeper levels of love. Only death, the pain of death, can allow that process to happen. Only the process of grief, whereby we are so deeply immersed back into the reality of this present moment, not able to turn away, but to just face the uncomfortable, undeniable pain of grief that something I love is gone. To feel that deeply in your heart and soul opens up your heart. It burns away all of these small attachments to the way that things were. All of the cobwebs that are formed when things are just left and become static and become stagnant, all of those are totally burnt away in the experience of grief, so that a new form, a new expression, a new joy, a new presence can be born, can be reborn. Only the grace of death, only the grace of grief can do that and allow us to live our lives in the fullness that we all desire to be. So friends, again, look around you. Everybody that you love, everything that you enjoy, everything that you have is going to die. How will you live this moment, this day, this week, this year, if you live with the ever-present awareness of that reality? To live with such a deep connection to things, the deepest sense of presence with things. This is the last time we will ever share this experience together. This is the last time I will ever eat this meal, that I will ever sleep in this bed. To live with that sense of ever-present awareness, deep, deep presence, and to know that when these things do die, when these things that we love do go, that out of the grace of grief, when we accept it and embrace it and surrender into it, we will be born into a newer, greater experience of life, much greater than we could have imagined possible with the old conditions. How would life be, friends, if we could really embrace the sacred grace of death?
Sinner and a saint, the one that you love, but the one you hate. I've been a god and a king and a murderer all the same. And as I stand, so I've fallen, born reborn and gained the world, and from me had it torn away. Now I can only come as I am. Well, am I any more than a living man? Well, am I more than all? You know me as I am. Hold on. Well, I can only come as I am. Well, am I any more than a living man? Well, am I more than all? You know me as I am. Hold on. Oh, oh. After all I've said and all I've done, though I carry on with all that I've become, still I look beyond what death can take away. And after all I've said and all I've done, though I carry on with all that I've become, still I look beyond what death can take. Now I can only come as I am. Well, am I any more than a living man? Well, am I more than all? You know me as I am. Hold on. Well, I can only come as I am. And am I any more than a living man? Well, am I more than all? You know me as I am. Hold on. Oh.